Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Gene Marks. And we're looking at small business. Small business is the business of America, and health costs are everything, but they're also a major piece of how you can attract and retain workers. And Gene very carefully writes about this often, but now we come to the Street reporting about small and medium-sized employers converting to self-insured health plan. Is that going to save them money, Gene?
Yeah, it is. So I've been talking about this recently, too, and I wrote about it months ago, but I'm going to revisit the topic. It used to be, John, that self-insurance plans were something for the big boys, large corporations that pooled their money together so that they could negotiate better healthcare rates, and they had the capability to absorb any losses, but also to take advantage of the upsides of doing that. But over the past few years, there has been a significant growth in small businesses getting involved in self-insuring for their health costs. And if you're listening to this and you run a small business or you're managing a business, you want to look into captive insurance programs. There are captive insurance companies all around the country, and many of them are sprouting up to support small businesses because they've realized that there is good economics involved. A captive insurance program, John, it's a separate entity that might have 1,000 businesses that belong to it. So you're in business with a bunch of other people, but that entity is run by experienced people in the healthcare industry, and they, representing tens of thousands of employees that are based on their members, they go out and they negotiate and buy health insurance. And if you're a small business now, they figured out this formula for self-insuring so that you're sharing the loss with so many other small and mid-sized businesses that if there are losses, it's relatively negligible, but the upside could also be good as well. And it really is a big, big factor in helping to control your healthcare costs and making sure that your healthcare is being managed by somebody that knows more about it than you do. No offense to anybody who's listening to this. So self-insurance itself it's really become a more popular option for small businesses. And we're recommending to our clients, I've been recommending people I speak to, Google around and talk to people that offer captive insurance programs and look into them. It might be something that is really right for your business.
The NFIB is reporting a positive if you work for a small business, that over these next months, there will be raising compensation. Is this to retain, Gene? Is this to attract? How do we interpret this?
So we talked earlier about how, you know, people are looking for less employees because their, you know, potential prospects aren't great. And even, you know, job openings themselves have decreased. But for most small businesses that are around the country, you're absolutely right, John. They've got good employees. They want to keep them. The fact of the matter is that a lot of small businesses have not been keeping up with pay raises compared to their larger corporate counterparts. The average pay raise by larger corporations have ranged anywhere from 7 to 9% this past year. Typical small businesses have been percentages less. And they're looking to change that because they don't want to lose employees. They've solidified their employment right now. They know that things are going to slow down a little bit. They want to make sure that their people are taken care of. So the focus that I'm seeing, and it doesn't surprise me that the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, you know, reports on this from their survey, because businesses themselves do want to keep their best employees around, and they're going to be paying them a little bit more this year.
Paying a little bit more and adding perks in Philadelphia. Now, I see help wanted signs again. It hasn't been true for several months. Was there ever a moment in Philadelphia where you didn't see help wanted signs?
Not that I'm thinking of right now, but I can tell you that in Philadelphia, this is a piece that I just wrote this past week for the Inquirer about what restaurants are doing in the Philly area to retain their employees and to find new employees as well. Because it's a big interest, a big issue for a lot of restaurants to do just that. So I interviewed a number of them around the area and I featured three in this piece. Just to make sure that I share with you, if anybody, again, listening to this, running a restaurant or a similar type of business, your best employees are going to be found by your existing employees. Referrals are always number one. I get it if investing in technology is expensive, but you got to make sure that you're keeping up with compensation. I know that sounds simple, but it is a fact of the matter that to be competitive, you've got to do that. You can play a little bit with paid time off and flexible schedules as well. But John, you know what? The number one thing that I've found among these restaurants that really, really did the thing to keep their employees around was just providing a nice place to work. The owners checking in with their employees frequently to make sure that they were cool and making sure that if there's any issues that they were being addressed, and, hiring a good team that shared experiences together and had a good time together and just provided a nice place to work. And, even for a small business, if you're trying to attract employees and you can't pay as much as that big restaurant or big business down the street, you can still provide a place that's flexible, where the boss is involved, that's a fun place to work, you got good other members of your team. For a lot of people, that's even better than comp. It makes up for the extra dollar or two an hour they could be making. And that I found was very revealing to me. It's just the workplace, very, very important to keeping and retaining those employees.
Are we looking at minimum wage or better than that, Gene?
No, most restaurants are paying above minimum wage nowadays. No one is paying minimum wage, particularly the federal minimum wage. And in Pennsylvania, where I did this report in Philly, the Pennsylvania's minimum wage is still the same as the federal minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. Nobody's making that, anymore. But a lot of restaurants do find that if they are busy and they run a good shop, tips make up for that. So, the tipped wages that employees are making is providing enough of a compensation for them. One other thing is just, I know you have other things to talk about, but the new point of sale devices that are encouraging customers to tip more is really having an impact and really helping small businesses not have to make up that difference themselves to their employees. Now, you go to a coffee shop and people tip that extra buck when they buy their coffee. That's helping small business owners. So that's really a big thing. And again, if your employees are making wages that, a lot of tip wages, you've got to report those tips because, there's both federal and state compliance that you have to make sure you're doing. Don't get in trouble because of that. It's not a great thing for the business.
Gene, your column in The Hill is revelatory. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Yes, in big cities in the East Coast and the West Coast, straightforward, all for it. Everybody is on board. But it's very challenging, you report, for this same ambition to be realized in states, the plain states, Nebraska, because the pool is smaller. Please explain.
It is. There are many challenges to implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion, and a lot of businesses really want to do that. But one of the biggest challenges is simply physical location. According to Pew Research, 56% of Black Americans live down south in the southern states. And remember, Black Americans make up 14% of the entire U.S. population. So if you're a business owner in Nebraska or Missouri or somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, you have a smaller pool of potential Black employees to choose from, let alone the fact that only 25% of Black people over the age of 25 have college degrees. So it's challenging if you're a business. You do want to help and you do want to diversify, but at the same time, you are looking for skilled workers. There's a short supply of people that have college degrees or skills, and then just a short supply of people because most of them are living down in the South. If you're a business that's up in the Midwest or up in the Northwest, it makes it even more challenging to fulfill your DEI goals. And I think that's part of the problem, why so many businesses aren't doing that.
Gene Marks is a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition. He also writes for The Hill and other distinguished publications. Chiefly, it's important he writes for our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer. This is The Small Business Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.